Hi, I'm Paul Diamond, editor of Vistage View, here with Vistage member and speaker Dana Barocca. For the past 25 years, Dana has been helping companies raise their hiring bar. He's a speaker, radio and TV personality on the topic, and he's the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services, which provides interpretation of personality assessments, stress management workshops, and communication consulting. He's a co-author of the forthcoming book, Cracking the Personality Code. Dana, welcome, and thank you for coming to our studio.
Thanks for having me here today.
Dana, let's get a quick overview before we get to the specifics. Your talk today is how to lose your most valuable resources. How does a company lose that?
It's a great question, and we can't afford it in today's economy or challenging times. To keep the people, keep them engaged, be respectful of the individuals in the organization, and have them contribute ideas and be participative in the entire organization from a sales, marketing standpoint, operational standpoint.
So when we do those things, we don't lose our most valuable resources.
Correct. It's the ignoring of them and not paying attention to them and taking them for granted.
With the challenging economy, what are some key issues that you're seeing in the employment arena? Specifically, are people staying put or are they moving around?
It's an amazing situation right now. Most people would assume that individuals would stay in a specific position at this point in time, and it's not the case. What we're seeing, 70% of our business is in-depth personality assessments for new hires. There's a hiring spree going on across the United States and globally, as some people are aware of and might even be shocked at that. We're also seeing individuals that are not being valued in organizations and then want to move. So an example, in the last week or so, we've had 6 calls from individuals for career guidance assistance. But here's the typical background of the 6. Good schooling background, in other words, college degree. They are pretty stable in their positions. They've been with an organization for 3 to 5 years or so, yet they're looking to leave. So here's the commonality, which is pretty amazing, and they it's across the board. They don't feel respected by the organizations, and respect meaning they don't feel engaged, and they're not being asked to participate in the organizations, and so they're getting bored, and they want to go somewhere else where they are engaged. So it's an interesting phenomena, which is a great wake-up call, I think, for all organizations to not forget your most valuable resource or your people.
When it comes to feeling engaged, is that something that is universally wanted by employees across, you know, the 3 generations that we have in the workforce now?
At all levels. Matter of fact, I just gave a talk to an association of bankers, and we selected various generations to come up on stage and to share Generation Y and Generation X, and we went back and forth a little bit, and then asked the audience, what are you hearing as far as a commonality from all the generations? And it was very, very clear. The common thread is engagement and people feeling respected and valued and appreciated for what they do.
Are people starting to look for jobs globally or in other countries?
It's amazing how it's opened up. Matter of fact, U.S. News World Report had an amazing series of articles on Dubai and some of the opportunities that are coming up globally, let's say, in that part of the world. Between now and the year 2020, they're going to be spending $1 trillion on construction. It's $1 trillion. So this is what's going to take place in the trillion, according to U.S. News World Report. They are going to open up about a dozen different amusement parks, ranging from Universal Studios all the way through Legoland. Yes, Legoland is opening in Dubai. They're also doing partnerships with Microsoft for creating what's called the Internet City. They don't just do little things. It's called a city. They also are doing a combination of a healthcare city in conjunction with Harvard Medical School. Now, isn't that interesting? Because where do you think they're going to be recruiting some of their personnel? Because these are U.S.-based companies. Along with, they're also going to be opening up a number of major studios in conjunction with U.S.-based studios. UPS is going to be opening their largest hub in the Dubai area. So there's a lot going on, including they're going to be building 51 hotels, major hotels, in what's going to be like a Las Vegas strip that's 6 miles long. A lot going on. Now, within the United States, there's something really cool happening too. And I think this is important for the listeners to be aware for not only retention, but attraction in the future. In the United States, there's an organization that started up called Zipcar. Ever hear of them?
No.
They have taken a sleepy old industry, which is the car rental industry, and made it really cool. Now, they currently have over 200,000 members in Zipcar. And the way this works is you log online and you sign up for a car you want to rent hourly. Let's say it's $7, $8 an hour, something like that. But they're bonding people to the car. So they have really cool cars, like, let's say, a Mini Cooper. And they call it a name, like a Dagwood. So when someone's renting a car in an area, they go, oh, I want the Dagwood car. That's my car. So they've gone the next step from a marketing engagement standpoint of involving the person in the emotion of renting a car. So the old, oh, I've got the Buick or the Ford or whatever it is, it's being superseded by this other organization. So what this is showing is that, yes, there's global engagement around the world for cool opportunities, and even the United States taking an old sleepy industry, making that cool. So the question is then for the members, what are we all doing for our organizations from a PR standpoint, preparing ourselves for attracting individuals into our organizations?
And that is my next question. How does a company keep their employees engaged and productive?
Let me give an example. There was a small hotel chain that had a reservation group, and they had a reservation manager who was getting frustrated with the group because the owners wanted a certain call volume coming in for new reservations. And he wasn't able to get his people to, what he would say, perform. So he really wanted to clear house. He wanted to get rid of everybody and start all over from scratch, because these are just low-hanging fruit, in a sense, of individuals. Well, the CEO noticed that, no, he didn't think that was true, that they were pretty good performers, but they weren't being managed appropriately. Now, the key operative word is they weren't being managed appropriately. So they brought a new reservations person in to manage them, and he started to ask them a whole bunch of questions. He sat them down and had a discussion and had them engaged, and they started to participate, and they felt very respected within the process because they were allowed to engage and offer ideas. Here's what came out of this, which is quite amazing. They, as a group, found there was a pattern of phone calls coming in, and the pattern was the day before, within 48 hours, people were calling up for confirming reservations, for getting weather reports, getting directions to the facility. Well, that burns up time. And the whole time was getting longer and longer as time went on. So here's what they came up with, which was brilliant. Since they were collecting email addresses, how about creating a page where 48 hours before the person came to stay there, it said, welcome, we're looking forward to having you stay with us. We thought the following information would be helpful. Weather report, how to dress, directions if you're coming from the airport or wherever you're coming from. Bam, 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 and a confirmation, of course. The people in the reservation group also got to participate in the design of the web page. So they brought a designer in to work with them for ideas. I got to see the page. It is so warm and welcoming and cool. So guess what the result was at the end of the day of this thing? It had a multi-tier effect. Call level change, or the volume change. Those particular calls that were burning up time went down. And the call volume went up for the reservations, which then affected bottom line. Wait time went down. And the very interesting byproduct was the people that participated in this exciting activity of being asked questions of how to work on this particular issue felt respected, engaged, and valued. They put out good word of mouth to other people, and all of a sudden they became a recruitment tool for the organization. Is that way too cool?
So respected, engaged, and valued, those are some operative words.
Yes.
What do organizations do to create high turnover rates? I mean, what are some common mistakes?
Ignoring individuals, making them feel they're just part of the process. Again, not engaging them, but they're just a number. Oh, I hear that all the time. Those six people in the beginning I mentioned with the career guidance, they each felt they were just a number and no one really talked with them. It's deadly, just deadly. These are human beings and people that want to be a contributor to an organization.
Do you have any horror stories that you can share on this topic of, you know, companies just making terrible mistakes with their human assets?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. I was just talking to somebody the other day. This organization primarily hires college students to work at a golf course. And the manager there was a really cool guy and gave awards and had all sorts of fun with them. And then the person left. And then they got a new manager in. And the manager figured they were just there to earn an hourly wage and they were just a number. And all of a sudden, they didn't feel appreciated, they didn't feel valued, and they didn't feel engaged. Now, all of a sudden, kids weren't showing up to work. Bad word of mouth got around to the different schools, and now they have a bigger issue. They have a customer service problem, because then they started to talk to the members of the club, because they were wondering what was going on. They weren't their happy, jovial selves kind of thing. And now no one wants to work there, because it's not a cool place to work.
Do you have any exercises that can help identify how to move somebody from a C player employee to, you know, perhaps a B or an A?
Yes, this is a wonderful exercise. Pull out a piece of paper and pencil, and we can walk through this right now. So in the middle of the page, you put a little circle in the middle, and you place your initial, or you put me. Now, you can use this for individuals, or you can use it for departments also. So you put me. Around the making a bigger circle, you put direct reports or different departments and put initials there and start going around in a circle. You might have 3, 4, 5, 10, 15 individuals or various departments. After you've done that, start connecting the dots. And the way this works is for individuals or the departments that you're having a really wonderful communicative relationship with, draw a straight line. And just go around, draw a straight line. If it's kind of a little, not quite sure, a slightly wavy line, and if you're having some more issues, a more wavy line, and if there's substantial issues going on where communication is a problem, profitability is a problem, everything's just an issue, make a very jagged line. Now you got a picture of your direct reports or your departments. Now you can go back and go, okay, let's start assigning costs to it. What is the cost for that jagged line? And it's amazing what one starts to see there when you put a dollar amount to it or a time value to it. Then you can start going about, okay, what can we do then to move it up a notch? So taking, let's say, a D player or a D plus player to move them to a C minus player or a C plus player into a B player. You can do this with anyone in your organization and come up with baby steps in order to help mentor them to work this through and have them contribute some ideas. This is not a strong disciplinary thing. This is a brainstorming idea in order to help move them along in a proactive way. And this is a great process for chairs, for instance, doing one-to-ones, have the members sit down and to work with them. And also, if there's individuals in the group, everyone can kind of go around and rate everybody of what's going on. And if someone's not communicating very well, or maybe their performance isn't quite there, put the jagged line, go, gosh, what can we do to move this along with baby steps? And then it becomes a win-win scenario.
Let's take the example of a CEO who has a company with about 20 employees. Now, the CEO can put their initials in the middle and then draw the appropriate lines out. But would they have each of their employees do the exercise also?
Could do that also, yep. And kind of like a 360 in a sense from a communication standpoint. And they might come back and put the CEO as a really jagged line, which would be a real hot topic for doing a one-to-one or bringing it up as a group process. That's a wow.
Well, what do you do when you get a lot of those jagged lines on that list? Do you start with conversation? I mean, where does it begin?
Start with a conversation, because if you're seeing that or feeling it, they're feeling the same way. And they're feeling put out, again, not appreciated, respected, something's not working, and there's a major, serious disconnect. So by identifying that, then you can start to sit down with the individual and say, you know, I've been feeling this this issue going on. This has been going on for a while, and I think we need to work this out somehow. So maybe bring the chair in, or maybe others, and say, let's brainstorm some ideas so we can start to move this along and work these things out. Or if they were not able to work these things out, what's the solution to this? What can we do that's a win-win for everybody? Or is this something we just can't resolve? And if it's not resolvable, where are we at that point? Do we live with it? And if we live with it, then we need to stop complaining and come up with another action plan for it.
Dana, do you have any tips on how companies can raise their retention levels?
I think by talking to the people, doing simple things for them. I've seen individuals where in order to help people feel engaged, the CEO or the key executives will actually put candy in their pocket and then walk around, something very inexpensive, and say, "Oh, Susie, Joe, it's so great to see you. Would you like a candy, a lifesaver?" And they walk away with something sweet in their mouth, feeling good. It's simple, low cost, but it's engaging. Also, it's very important for the CEO and for the key executives to make sure that they understand what people are doing in their lives as staff members. So, for instance, there was a CEO brought into an organization from a venture capital organization. I know this guy for years. Great guy. But he got very focused on the numbers. So all of a sudden, the CEO that he replaced, it became an issue because he was very affiliative of the old CEO. So we came up with this really simple idea. He started doing a little bit of research on the people, if they liked to go camping, if they had kids play soccer, whatever they were doing, selling Girl Scout cookies for the weekend as a family, whatever they were doing. And he started studying. Then he went around on Monday. He said, "Oh, did you have a how was scuba diving? I heard you went scuba diving. Where'd you go? Did you catch anything or did you see anything? Did you get pictures?" And the guy goes, "Yeah, I got some great pictures. Hey, why don't we put them on our site and share them if you're comfortable doing that, or let's put them in the lunchroom, or let's post them up. This is really a neat thing." That's engagement. Now, would you want to work at a company where the CEO or the key executives appreciate you and value you and treat you as a human being? Probably. Yeah.
In fact, Raphael, the CEO of Vistage, does a fantastic job with that, and he always seems to remember what I've been up to and what I'm doing, and he asks questions, and it does. It makes me feel valued.
Isn't that neat? Yeah. And if the key executives or the owners of businesses aren't doing that, someone will, and it's going to be a recruiter or it's going to be a friend saying, "Hey, you want to come work at my company? We really need people over by us really badly, and you're doing so good at your company, but we have some really neat things going on here." That's going to happen. You're going to lose your people. So retention is really simple. It's valuing the people and appreciating them, doing really simple things. Picnics are simple. Bowling things are simple. It doesn't have to be very expensive.
And is there another strategy for attracting top talent?
I think attracting top talent takes, again, back to that engagement, getting people feeling good, and then they go out and encouraging people to go talk about the individuals or what they're doing as far as projects and being very involved with associations, anything from a PR standpoint, from multi-tiered marketing perspective. And the key, I think, is knowing your people. So, for instance, we do in-depth personality assessments for companies for new hires, 70%, and the other is for staff members. And the wonderful thing, let's say for chairs, they'll use us to test their members, and then the chair gets to understand the member a little bit better. But the members can do the same thing with their people and get to know how they tick from the inside out. So, for instance, bringing in a new person, let's say their learning process is very rote, very step-by-step, versus someone that's very intellectually driven and just kind of can read a book and off they run. Well, that's a different onboarding process. So then the success return on investment there is the company's going to create a win-win by understanding how the person thinks. And that's then all of a sudden they're going to go, "Oh, wow, they can actually relate to me. Wow, that's really, really good." Now, if they're talking to their friends and their friend is having a bad day at a company because the person goes, "Oh, they just don't understand me and they don't respect me or work with, know how to work with me," knowing how to work with someone is the key. by getting in someone's head in a respectful way and understanding their process and where they're going to win, a win-win scenario, then that's an automatic attraction process by helping them feel engaged. But I've also seen some individuals currently where they're being switched to different departments, like an accounting person or someone that's process-oriented put into a customer service or sales position, and they shouldn't be in there. That's a lose-lose scenario. Now all of a sudden, what are they doing? They're grumbling. They don't want to be there anymore, and then they're going to leave.
How do we determine what's a win-win fit?
By looking at the job description, having as detailed as possible, such as, let me give you an example of that. Let's say someone's going to come in, and job description is normally the checklist thing. Oh, they got to have a degree, they got to do this, or they got to do that. And that certainly needs to be there from an HR standpoint. But I think more importantly, having goals and objectives going out 180 days and breaking them down into a 30, 60, 90, 180-day process. So the first 30 days, and going back into the first week, what's expected there? What should they be doing? What should they be learning going in the second week, third week, and fourth week? Because what I hate to hear is someone walking up to a manager and on the 91st day and saying, you hired this person for me, and they're not working out. They don't know what they're doing. What's wrong with them? They're imbeciles. Get rid of them. Well, and then the manager goes back, well, have you talked with them at all to see how they're doing? Well, no, they came from a competitor. They should know what they're supposed to be doing. Reality is, no, they're not. That's wrong. They're coming from an organization that's similar to your organization, but the processes are going to be a little bit different. So by having it broken down to a 30, 60, 90-day program going out to 180, that's creating a win-win scenario, because then you can find out how they're doing, frame whatever you need to help that along. And if they're not, if something's going awry at that point, then you can either fix it or change it. But what's the old adage? Slow to hire, quick to fire. It's a good measurement tool. And for current members, too, it's good to do the 180-day thing for goals and objectives to see where they're at, if they want to do anything differently. Maybe they don't want to. I've seen some CEOs take an administrative assistant that was totally satisfied with what they were doing and loved the position. They said, oh, you have to grow. We want to move you to this other position. And the person will start breaking down and cry and go, no, why do you want to do that? I don't want to leave. I love doing what I'm doing. I don't want to work over there. So by knowing how someone ticks and keeping engaged with them, you'll see where they're at and what their true goals and objectives are. And again, respect it through communication.
Dana, this has been very interesting. If listeners wanted to get more information, do you have a website that they can go to?
Yes, go to www.lighthouseconsulting.com.
Well, Dana, thank you very much for coming to the studios.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been great.
That concludes my interview with Vistage speaker and member Dana Barocca. This is Paul Diamond thanking you for tuning in to discover new Vistage audio and video webcasts. Have a productive day.